John chapter number 10, if you will, in your Bibles, please. John chapter number 10. We are continuing our series through the book of John. Now, you'll recall that for the last few weeks, we've had some specialty type events with the anniversary and other things that have kind of found itself in the row of each other back to back. And we've not been in the book of John for a few weeks, but we are back and we are ready to address a passage of Scripture here this morning that I'm excited about, and I am well aware of the time. I'm going to do my very best to keep things on track, but I want to provide a message for you too that from this passage we can glean from and have the Lord speak to our hearts. So John chapter number 10, if you will, I'm going to read the first 21 verses of this chapter. And if you have your Bible as well, would you please follow along with me as I read this passage, please? The Bible says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 12, but he that is an hireling is not the shepherd, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" In this passage of Scripture this morning, we learn some things that I want to share with us here. And I hope to be a challenge and a help to everyone. Some truths from this passage as Jesus once again speaks to the so-called religious leaders of the day, trying to explain to them who He is. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin the message for this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for each and every person who's present here today. Thank You for those who are not able to be here but are watching on our live stream opportunity. I pray, God, that You would take these next few minutes. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to open up our minds and our hearts to what You have for us today. Lord, some of the things in this message and from this passage could very well be things that we already know but need to be reminded of. I pray that You would fill me with Your power. And Lord, I pray You would help me to be a blessing to these dear people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, it has been a while since we were in the book of John. And as you recall, as we ended chapter 9, we find Jesus, he has seen a man that is blind. And we know our Savior, knowing our Savior like we do, he takes the time to meet the need of that man, and he heals them. And the Pharisees, boy, they don't like that. They get wind of that, and they're upset about it. And they start accusing Jesus of being a sinner. And I'm kind of humored by the way the recently healed man responds to these so-called spiritual leaders of the day as they began to ask him, who healed you? Who is? And they began to call Jesus a sinner. And if you'll allow me just to take a moment in verse 25 of chapter 9, I love what he says. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, and now I see. Amen? You know, we were recently, or once we were saved, whether it was recently or years ago, we might not have known a whole lot about the Bible or a lot about Genesis to Revelation and all that stuff. But hey, you know what? I do know this. Once I was blind, and now I see. Amen? I love that phrase, the way that new believer, if you will, responds just out of transparency. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know I can see. I do know he healed me. Amen? And I love that. Now, the reason I back up into chapter 9 is because, at least as I see it, this same conversation, though the blind man has not only been healed, but as you'll note in the last few verses of chapter 9, he tells Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. He's not only healed physically, he's healed spiritually too. And that's a pretty awesome day when you have two in a row like that. But Jesus continues to communicate with these Pharisees, these others who are listening on. And you know, one thing I see in this book of John and in other books where Jesus is speaking is he's pretty long-suffering with people. Because if you'll notice in this book of John that we've been preaching from and teaching from, he has tried over and over to try to share with these people who he is. And he's tried it this way. He's tried it this way. He's tried it. Earlier in the book, he tries to explain it to them. He's Son of Man. Well, maybe some believe, but a lot don't. So then he chooses, you know what? Let me see, how else could I illustrate it to you? I'm the bread of life. You remember that a few chapters ago when Pastor preached on being the bread of life. Jesus, the bread of life. He comes across in a conversation to address it in such a way, I'm the bread of life. See if I can get to you through that avenue. And then he says, well, let's see. I didn't get all of you on that one. Hey, I'm the light of the world. And so he once again tries to go a different direction to reveal to these Pharisees, these unbelievers, of who he is and why he's come. Well, once again, in chapter 10, we see Jesus kind of hitting it from a different angle as well. And this approach that he uses in chapter 10, he chooses to use the unique relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. He chooses of many others he's chosen, as we just addressed. Now he's trying something else. Hey, and he goes to the shepherd-sheep relationship. Now, he, of course, likens himself in this relationship to the shepherd, of which he is. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. And then, of course, he continues to liken us as mankind as the sheep. And he says, and know my sheep. Now, anything that I've ever read or heard of about sheep is that they are directionless and dumb animals. Is it sinking in yet? I'm trying to say it without saying it. You know what you are? No. You're wonderful people. God bless you. Please don't leave. But you know what Jesus says? And here's what he's saying to these folks. He goes, the reason you're directionless and dumb is because you don't have me as your shepherd. Okay? That's why he's saying, you're like a sheep without direction, aimlessly wandering. with no direction or anything like that. Jesus is not trying to hurt your feelings, okay? All right, our feelings. I know today in our day and age, we got to be careful that we don't hurt someone's feelings, and we shouldn't want to. But I'm just saying, he's not trying to do that. He's trying to help us understand that without him, hey, let's just admit it and be transparent. We are directionless and dumb. Okay? How many of you have ever done anything that was pretty dumb? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay. Brother TJ has both hands up. He's an honest man. He's an honest man. Now, some of you didn't respond on this, but I'm pretty sure I'll get 100% participation on this one. How many of you know someone who has done something pretty dumb? Raise your hand. Don't point. I got three ladies pointing at their husbands. If they're all pointing at the same guy, I'm getting nervous. Just kidding. Either we've done something... I've got to do something to keep your attention this morning, all right? Either we've done something dumb, or we know someone who's done something dumb. My first interaction with firecrackers was not the wisest move. I was had the opportunity to travel with a singing group in college. We represented the college. It was a tour group. We have tour groups here in our church periodically representing other colleges. And we were in Atlanta, Georgia. It was around the 4th of July time. And we stayed in this home of some teenagers, you're going to like this word, that were pretty mischievous. Y'all know what that means? That's a nice way of putting it, okay? And I had never really, up until that point, I had never really had much interaction with fireworks before. I mean, I don't know why, just never had really done it, and I didn't know a whole lot about it. But, you know, I wanted to be kind of really in with these teenagers, and we were trying to connect with them, and he goes, hey, and these are the kind of teenagers that don't just light fireworks. They, like, smash them up and put them in a plastic bottle and do whatever, you know, hit them with a hammer, you know, and all this dumb stuff, and then they light it, you know. And so this one guy handed me a big pack of firecrackers. You know what firecrackers are? Okay. I'm not talking about one little firecracker, okay? That's not the packs they come in. They're illegal around here, right? So how do you know about them? Anyway, he hands me this big pack and he says, hey, you know something we tried the other day that's fun? I said, what is it? He said, we light it, we hold it for a few seconds, and then we throw it real fast and see if it'll get out of our hands before it blows up. I said, that sounds kind of dumb. But being the ministerial student that I was and wanting to be a blessing to my fellow man and being dumb, he said, here, what you do is you unwrap them, and you know how they're all intertwined together. You know, you got like all these firecrackers. He says, you light them, and then you hold them for a few seconds, and then you throw them. When I was a kid, I used to watch these really fun cartoons. This was back when they had the fun cartoons, you know. And you remember how, was it Roadrunner? It was one of them guys where the coyote would light something, and before he could throw it, pow, you remember that? You remember that? Okay. I'm preaching Bible to you. You guys were on the same page. That's exactly what happened to me. I lit it, and before I could say, hey guys, boom, it was gone. I have most of my fingers still today. I want you to know that. Okay. That's probably some gang sign. I'm going to get in trouble now. Right? How many of you would agree that was dumb? Okay, not that many. Okay, don't make me feel too bad. But you know, Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd and refers to us as the sheep. Now, there's an interesting relationship here this morning that I want to share with you quickly in some efforts that Jesus compares himself to a shepherd in how that he cares and loves us. And I just want to go through these three things and help you this morning. First of all, number one, from John chapter 4, we see the shepherd, chapter 10, verse 4, we see the shepherd leads his sheep. The shepherd leads his sheep. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep, what? follow him, for they know his voice. About a year ago, there were a few of us that had the opportunity to go on a trip to Israel. And while we were there, we periodically would see literally a shepherd leading sheep. And just as Jesus is telling these Pharisees, and he's telling us today, that just as that shepherd would lead those sheep, I want to be that shepherd in your life as well. You know, if I'm not careful, I'll try to fix things and only call on God when I get in a bind. Oh, I need you now. When Jesus says, I want to lead you. I want to lead you in your family. I don't want you to just come to me when there's a crisis. And by the way, come to Jesus when there's a crisis, okay? All right, I'm not saying don't do that. But Jesus said, I don't want to just be a tag along in the family. I want to be a leader of your family. I want you to have something that not many people have if you're married today. A happy marriage. Wow, have you ever heard of that? Where people actually get along and love each other. And like each other. I love him, I just don't like him. That's what the problem, you know. Jesus says, I want to lead you in your family. I want to lead you in your faith. I want to lead you. How many of you want to grow as a Christian? You know what the Bible teaches us in John chapter 16 and verse 13? He says, I want to guide you into all truth. Do you know the leadership of our Savior Jesus Christ as we allow Him to shepherd us will help us grow in our faith and in our walk on a daily basis as we journey through this land? Right, Jeremy? As we journey. Do you get that? That's a little plug for your class. That's all I'm giving you, though. Because He's given us life abundantly. Okay, abundant lives. No, I'm just kidding. We'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, I'm just joking, kind of. He wants to lead us. Hey, here's what happens, too. We start getting older. You know what? He wants to lead us in our future. In that same verse from John 16, 13, he says, and he will show you things to come. In other words, Jesus says, I don't want to be just your shepherd to help you in a few things. I want to help you not with just the here and now, but I want to show you things to come. I want to help you in your future. I want to lead you in your future. Some people are wringing their hands today saying, well, I just don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know He holds my hand, and I know it's His grip, not mine, that's keeping that thing going. Hey, He wants to lead us today. But if we're not careful, we will try to figure things out ourselves. You ever tried figuring things out yourself? Sometimes when my kids were growing up, my wife would hand me something to put together. Let's not get in. I'm not saying I hate my wife. I love my wife. I hate putting things. When I put things together, there's like 15 parts still left over, and I supposedly have it put together, you know? Now, if I'd have followed the instructions, that might have been, oh, I know how to do it. You know, Jesus wants to be the leader of our life, the shepherd of our life, because He has an instruction for us to follow. And He wants us to follow that. He wants to lead us. When I grew up, it was a popular little statement that people would make, and they meant well by it. I'm not trying to be critical, but they meant well by it. They'd say, well, yeah, Jesus is my co-pilot. No, He's not. Jesus ought to be our pilot. Now, I know they meant well. What they meant that was, you know, Jesus is along with me and He's there to help me. You know, I've changed my prayer on this. Seriously. I'm not just praying, and I know that He is a helper to us, and please don't misunderstand the point. But I've changed my prayer on this to just, not just, Jesus, help me through this. Jesus, lead me through this. Jesus, guide me through this. You see here, Jesus not only just wants to help us through what we think we ought to do in our life, He wants to lead us through what He knows we ought to do with our life. And there's a big difference there. And as our shepherd, as Jesus is comparing Himself to the people of that time as sheep, shepherd and sheep, He says, hey, the shepherd leads his sheep. We see that in verse 4. Secondly, we see that the shepherd looks out for his sheep. In verse 7, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." I was doing some study on this shepherd-sheep relationship this past week, and it was interesting to learn how the shepherd, literal shepherd with sheep, would gather his sheep each time. And basically what would happen is he would corral his sheep into this makeshift sheep pen. And the way he did that, and I wish I had more time to illustrate this, I would. But he basically, if you can envision, the shepherd would put, he would pull rocks from here and yon, and he would put rocks around almost in a complete circle, but he would leave the entryway without rocks. And the shepherd would lie at the entrance for two reasons. The first reason is the shepherd would lie at the entrance to minister to or to care for the sheep. The second reason is the shepherd would lie at the entrance of the sheep pen, the makeshift sheep pen, to protect the sheep from the wolves and the danger that came about, as we learn from this passage of Scripture. There was a twofold reason. And Jesus compares Himself with us in this passage of Scripture as the sheep and Him the shepherd. And folks, I want to remind you this morning, He's standing at the entrance of your life. And whenever you're in the sheep pen, if you will, and you're worried and fretting and in need of something, the shepherd is right there at the entrance to meet your needs. When it feels like your life is not really amounting to much, and it feels like you're not really getting anywhere in life, we look at verse number 10, and I love this verse. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus stands at the entrance of the sheep pen of life, if you will, and to the sheep, He ministers to them, He ministers to us. We take our needs to Him, and He's the one who cares for us. Do you see the analogy that we have a Savior who cares for us just like the shepherd would for his sheep? But it's not just that one thing. He also protects us. Boy, you know, when you feel like the devil's kind of getting on your back, you feel like that. And by the way, in this passage of Scripture, it pretty much says the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's not playing games. I'm not trying to give him any credit, but he's not playing games. But you know what? Aren't you glad that we don't have to, as a sheep, come out of there and try to fight the devil ourselves? We wouldn't win. But who do we have at the entrance of our life? We have our shepherd who stands there and he says, "Not in this house you ain't. You're not coming in the fold." Later on in chapter 10, he says, "And no man," listen, can pluck them out of my hand. Aren't you glad this morning that you have a shepherd that cares enough about you, that looks out after us to the degree that he stands at the entrance of your life and protects you from the wiles of the devil? The Bible tells us that greater is he that is in you, that shepherd that stands at the entrance of your life, than he that is in the world. You see, the shepherd not only wants to lead the sheep, he also looks out for the sheep. But lastly, I want to remind us and show us from this passage, and I love them all, but I love this one too. The shepherd, look here, longs for more sheep. Now, I'm done with this one. Verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice," and look here, "and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." I love that phrase. One fold and one shepherd. You know what Jesus is saying to us as followers of the shepherd? Hey, there's more out there. And Jesus says, "Hey, I want to minister to you. I want to protect you from the wiles of the devil. But I also want you to understand that there's more sheep out there," verse 16. "And I want them in the fold as well." Not only is Jesus taking care of us and protecting us, as He so well does, but He's also encouraging us to go get the other sheep, in verse 16, so that they can come into the fold as well. You know, Jesus never meant for the church to be, you've heard this phrase before, us four and no more. You know, it was never meant for us to close the doors to the world or to others on the outside. Now, I've heard of so-called ministries that you know, it's just for us, it's not for you. Stay on out of there. But you know what? The church house is a place where Jesus says, come on in, they're going to be sharing the gospel over here, and you can trust me as your Savior and be in that one fold with one shepherd. You know, Jesus is excited about this one fold and one shepherd, and he's so excited that this week he's going to have you cross the path of some wandering sheep, just like we used to be. And he's going to have you cross the path of that person. And that still small voice is going to speak to you and kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, tell that sheep about the shepherd. It was yesterday, and I'm done. Yesterday, I take my boys out on the bus route. They have a section of Oregon City bus route that they visit. And Ryan, Tommy, and Max. And I drive. None of them are able to drive each other around yet. Well, they're able to, but it's not legal. So I drive them around. They make their visits. They knock new doors. They share the gospel. You know, it's a great opportunity. So I was driving them around yesterday, and we got to a certain street, and they had some specific doors that they needed to go to visit some regular riders. And as I was sitting there in the car, kind of being their transportation type person, you know, I saw across the street a gentleman probably in his 20s sitting on the front porch. And it was like the Holy Spirit spoke. You know how Jesus speaks? And we're his sheep, so we listen, right? We know when he's talking, right? We sang it just a while. He still speaks. I know his voice. We know when. Now, we may ignore it, but we know. And I felt like, hey, you need to go talk to that guy. I'm like, you know what? I'm the designated driver for these bus workers. And I'm going to just do my thing. And it was like he kept, you need to go talk to that guy. So I got out of the car. I grabbed me a gospel track. I went over and I talked to Dakota. I said, Dakota, do you get to go to church anywhere? Oh, not that much, once in a while. I said, you know, more important than going to church is at least knowing for sure that we're on our way to heaven. Do you know that for sure? Have you thought about it very much? He sat there. He said, I've thought about it some, but I don't know. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I said, if Jesus would forgive you and give you a home in heaven, and I explained salvation to him, how that we've all sinned and we all deserve an awful place called hell, but Jesus died on the cross to provide heaven for us as we trust him as our Savior, gave him the complete plan of salvation. I said, Dakota, if Jesus would forgive you and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do that for you? He said, yes, I would. It's just another sheep. It's just another sheep. But you know what? To Jesus, it means the world because it's one fold and one shepherd. And I just want to challenge us this morning in this area of the shepherd and the sheep relationship. Jesus wants to lead us. He doesn't want us dragging him around and just using him when we need him. He wants to be the one who leads us around. And he looks out after us. Amen? And he longs for more sheep, and he prompts us to be that avenue of which goes out and shares the gospel. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The shepherd and the sheep relationship. It's a wonderful thing. I enjoy studying this passage, and I hope that it helped us this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, you've talked a whole lot about that shepherd and sheep thing, but I don't really know for sure that Jesus is my shepherd. I have really never trusted Jesus as my Savior. I realize that He shed His blood. He died on the cross for our sins. I realize that because I'm a sinner, I don't deserve heaven but hell. I realize that if I trust Jesus, I will go to heaven, but I never have yet, but I would like to this morning. Maybe there's just one here this morning. Maybe there's more. But if you're here this morning and you do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd love to give you an opportunity to trust Christ today. Would you pray this with me and mean it? Dear Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know because of my sin, I deserve hell. But I trust you, Jesus, and you only, to get me to heaven. I accept you as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Now our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many of you would say this morning, by an uplifted hand, I prayed that for the first time. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I called on Jesus to save me. I'd love to pray with you and rejoice with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I prayed that prayer this morning. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Thank you so much. I see that hand. Thank you so much. I see that hand. Now, the rest of us, are we allowing Jesus to lead our life? Are we trying to figure it out on our own? He wants to be the shepherd that leads. He wants to be the shepherd that looks out for us. And He sure longs for more sheep. And He wants to use us to tell those sheep about the shepherd. Please, please consider that as we make a decision for the Lord this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help us to respond as you prompt us to this morning. In Jesus' name.